Well, it is one of the very few charter fairs to the left in the country. There are a number of them around still going, but the strange thing about the Bampton one is it's been going for over 750 years, and as far as we can make out, it's never stopped. It's not a modern revival, it's been going all that length of time. And it was originally set up by King Henry III, and he did it, I think, really, the point of a charter, it was in order to raise cash. It was a way of raising tolls, in fact. And today, this affair, the tolls are still raised, although they don't go to the king anymore.
It seems quite a good way for the king to make money. Did the town apply for a charter, or did the king suggest that they apply for one?
I should think it was probably a combination of the two, actually. And the other thing was that he actually granted the charter in those days to the current vicar of the church, because there was a community of monks here at the time, and I think the money, some of the money anyway, was providing for the monks. Because the king was a very pious man, and I think he felt that by helping the monks, it would help his own path to heaven. So that was what used to happen in those days. But these days, of course, it comes to Bampton Town Council, and any money that is made from the fair, from the tolls from the fair, actually gets redistributed to local charities in these parishes.
Do you know of any other charter fairs that have continued unbroken?
I don't. I mean, because I think both the other local ones here, you know, there's Widdicombe, obviously, and Tavistock. I think both of those are relatively modern revivals. So, no, I don't. I'm sure there are others, but in this part of the world, I'm not sure.
Now, can I take you back to the Charter Fair of 100 years ago? It must have been a very busy place, and perhaps a very wild place, too.
Oh, it certainly was. It was much more agricultural in those days. I mean, originally, 100 years before, 200 years ago, it was sheep being sold mainly. And I gather that in the 1800s, there were about 14,000 sheep sold in a day. So it was very much, you know, that the Exmoor farmers came to sell things. And then by 1900, the sheep sales had gone right down, but some cattle were sold, and that was when the traditional pony fair started. And it really became a very well-known pony fair. But it drew people from all over the place, including Ireland, to trade in the ponies. And you got some pretty rough customers. But it was, you know, it was also actually, funny enough, more or less what it is now. It was a day out for these farmers. They all came for the day to Bampton. And they probably drank quite a lot all day too. So by the evening, it was, you know, quite a rough place to be, I think.
Now, the railway came along to Bampton, I think, around the 1860s, 1870s. Did this make a difference to the fair?
Well, it did, because one of the things was, of course, it was in the original days, all the livestock was actually driven off Exmoor down the roads, including the ponies and sheep, cattle and all the rest of it, because there was no way of transporting them. And the thing about the railway was it was two things. One was it was a method of transporting cattle and so on. But also, of course, it meant that more people could get here. It was very much used as a mode of transport. And when the railway eventually was closed in the 1960s, the fair did drop quite considerably in terms of the number of people visiting it.
It must have been very difficult to keep the charter fair going in the 60s, 70s and 80s. It must have gone through a low point then. Is this true?
Yes, it was more... The thing that was probably the most serious was the fact that pony sale was incredibly successful, and there were more and more ponies. The ponies were driven through the streets, and there were lots of people coming from all over the country to come to it, and it became a victim of its own success, really. And eventually it was partly animal rights, partly sort of what you might call early health and safety, because it became too dangerous to do it, and the pony sale then stopped. This was in the 1980s. And so without that as the sort of core of it, then, you know, it became really just a street market and a fun fair. That was about it.
I understand that this year you've got some of the animal sales back again.
Yes, well, we've done that since 2000. We've sort of revamped it quite a bit. And it's on a much, much smaller scale, of course, but the stags, the auctioneers, who actually used to be the auctioneers back in the olden days, they've come back, and they only auction quite a small number of ponies, but it's something which draws the crowds, and they really enjoy watching. There's also sort of ducks and geese and, you know, other things being auctioned as well, and saddlery and tack and all that sort of thing. So it's brought back some of that sort of character to the fair.
But you've also got street entertainment.
Yes, that's again something which is relatively recent, and but I say it's recent, of course, there would have been street entertainment back in sort of medieval times, but we have live music all day, which is very much appreciated. Some of it is actually very local. For instance, the Steel Band comes from the sort of Blackdown Hills area, although they've now changed their name to Red Hot Steel. And we have a singer called Ian Idris, who comes from just out down the road here at Dalverton. We've got the West Country Concertina Players. They're all quite locally based people, which is nice. But we also have people who wander around the streets. We have this year, which we haven't done before, and I'm really looking forward to seeing, they've got a one-man band called Chucklefoot, which I think could be quite entertaining. And we've got a couple of strangely dressed medieval characters who have puppets and that sort of thing. And we have the traditional Punch and Judy, which, of course, the younger kids really adore.
Bampton does seem the ideal place to have a street fair. Because of the layout of the town, you're able to close the streets.
Well, that's what makes this sort of very strange. As I say, many of the other fairs and shows that go on in the West Country are sort of in a field somewhere. And here, it takes over the whole of the middle of the town. The only problem with that, of course, is that we have somehow to get rid of all the cars. That's an interesting problem because, as you know, no doubt, Bampton's in the valley. So finding there are in fact two car parks on either side of the town, but we have to somehow clear all the streets, which will actually happen tonight. And the people coming in for their stalls will start coming in the early hours of the morning, probably.
Any idea what the average attendance is?
It's very, very difficult to tell, but it's certainly several thousand. It depends on the weather to some extent, but basically we get, I mean, there are quite a number of people who come every year, some of them actually from quite a distance, and we've had people, there are now I think one or two of the coach companies actually organise trips to come here, so we get, you know, quite a good cross-section of people from, the local area, especially, as we are right on the border between Devon and Somerset. I've had people who've turned up and said, oh, I heard about this on Radio Devon, or I've heard about this on Radio Somerset, or something like that. So it does make people aware that it's happening.
This interview, of course, will be going out on the Thursday morning of the fair itself. So if people want to bring their cars and their families to Bampton, what's the best thing for them to do?
Well, from the Taunton direction, if you've come into Bampton, the road ahead of you will be closed as you literally arrive at the edge of Bampton, but there is a car park right there. Which is by the old castle and motte. I should mention the fact that we don't actually charge any individual fee for coming into the fair, but we do charge for parking the car. We charge £5 for a carload of people, and that includes getting a free programme to tell them everything that's going on. There's another car park on the other side, if you come up from the sort of Tiverton direction, so to speak, and that one is on the hill on the side of the village, and is near where the pony sales take place. Can I just mention the fact that if you do want more information on it, we have a website, www.bamptoncharterfair.org.uk.
Now, one of the key jobs at Bampton Charter Fair is that of Tolly, and this year's Tolly is Sherry Webber. And I'm going to talk to Sherry now about the job of Tolly.
This is my first year in the role. Tolly is short for toll collector, so that is actually what I do. We have, well, I think Humphrey's already mentioned, a massive street fair with over 100 stalls, and each one of those stalls has to pay a toll to trade in Bampton on the day. This year will be the 753rd charter fair, so it's been continuous for all those years, so it's quite a historic event. I've had an interest in the fair for very many years. I've been coming to the fair probably for the last 20 plus years. And the role of Tolly was advertised in the local paper earlier this year. and I thought it was my opportunity to apply and get involved with it. And I think it's an excellent decision, and I feel very honoured and privileged to be appointed as the new Tolly, and hopefully continue in the role for very many years to come.
Tell me, what sort of things are you going to be doing in the run-up to the fair and on the fair day itself?
Right, OK. The run-up to the fair for me actually started back in the spring, about March time, because there's a lot of planning involved, as you can imagine, because, as Humphrey mentioned, the whole town gets taken over by stalls. So everyone needs to be planned in to make sure everything fits on the day. So bringing it more up to this week, yesterday we were out marking out the pictures, so we've been spray painting the whole town orange, so everybody will have somewhere to go tomorrow, and it all fits. And then tonight we'll be out, sort of, because there'll be people coming in from this evening and through the night, so we'll be out sort of guiding them in and making sure they're all happy. And then we'll be up very, very early in the morning, because we'll have a lot of people come in the morning. And then the fair is open at 8 o'clock.
You say the fair that opens at 8 o'clock. How long does it carry on for?
Well, the actual day goes on until 6 o'clock. But everybody's invited to stay on until about 10 o'clock if the weather's okay. But the actual main day is 8 till 6.
A traditional part of a street fair is a fun fair, and it's nice to have one there.
Oh, yes, it is a main part of the fair, actually, because that is a part of the charter that we have the showman here.
How do you feel being a part of history like this?
I think it's fantastic. I really do.
How does the job of Tolly get handed on? Is it something you do on a 5 to 10 year basis, or can you do it for as long as you want to?
No. I think Kelly's done it for the last 8 or 9 years, and the lady before her did it for over 20 years, I believe. So it's as long as I want to do it, and then we'll see where we go in the years to come. But it's not advertised, you know, on a yearly basis or anything.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating and busy job, and I'm sure that by the time Thursday arrives, you're going to be rushing round in circles with the final details of the Bampton Charter Fair. Cherie, thank you very much indeed for talking to 10 Radio, and may the fair go with a swing this year. Humphrey, can I come back to you and ask you about one or two events that are happening after the fair? Now, what's all this about a free folk festival?
Right, yes, well, the free folk festival started about 10 years ago, and very aptly it is called After the Fair. And it's 3 days of free folk festival, and what happens is that we have musicians from all over the place, including Ireland and Bretons coming over and that sort of thing. And they all arrive, and the whole place is basically seething with musicians. And what happens is that there is a concert in the hall and that sort of thing. There's two halls in Brampton that both have things going on. And at lunchtime and in the evenings, all the pubs and various other places are full of people doing singing and dancing and goodness knows what else for 3 days. And the other thing that happens, which is quite fun, is that by Friday morning, the whole fun fair will have gone. They go overnight. And the car park at Brampton, which is where the fun fair was, fills with mobile homes, where they're actually camper vans, really, with all these musicians. And so the whole place becomes this sort of folk festival going on for 3 days. And on the Saturday morning, around about lunchtime, we have all the Morris dancers arrive. We have about 3 or 4 teams of Morris dancers who dance in a couple of different locations through the town. So a lot happens after the fair.
Well, from everything you've said, it's obvious that Bampton is the place to be on this Thursday. Humphrey and Cherie, thank you very much indeed for talking to 10 Radio all about the Charter Fair. May it be a big success.
Well, thank you very much, Philip. Good to hear you. Bye-bye.